Good morning. So how are you all this morning? Have you had a good week? So are you doing your exercising? Huh? Some of you are saying, Well, you remember we had this challenge, we're going to do our exercising and try to eat a little bit better and be more conscious of taking care of ourselves. This is important, right? It's important that we stay physically, you know, trying to do something. Play the movie, right? Remember, if you play the movie in your mind and see yourself 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, right? If we don't do something, right? What's going to happen? That principle of atrophy kicks in. That means when you if you don't use it, you lose it. It means that it wastes because of lack of use. That's what atrophy means. It goes to waste because of no use. So that's important. If we're going to fulfill God's will in our life, we're going to have to try to stay fit. I got my 30 miles in this week. Saturday, I was running with my friend Tom, and it was 8 o'clock, and it was kind of nice out, and then all of a sudden it just started pouring down rain. And he's thinking, he's always kind of looking for an excuse to maybe not do it, and he's going, "What about this rain, Fred? You know, we're running." And I said, "It's not going to last for long." He goes, "Well, what if it storms?" And I kind of stopped. I said, "This is lightning and this is thunder. You don't want to get caught in this storm." And it was raining, and we both started cracking up. And there we are, 51 years old out there, just pouring down rain. It's like, all right. So then we picked it back up, and we started running, and it quit raining. So we did 7 miles. So I got my 30 miles in. So just like to let you all know that. That's important, right? Keep me accountable, right? I'm trying to keep you all a little bit accountable too, because we got to work with each other, don't we? Yeah, that's important. Okay, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about what? Growing, right? Growing in our faith. How we start out as believers, we're born again spiritually. We're born into God's family. Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. Now, we're babies then, right? We're just babies, baby believers. Babies need what? They always need attention. A baby needs constant attention. So we start out as babies, and then we get into childhood, and then we start to mature. And so that's what's going on in a lot of our lives, is we're growing. And remember, our problems in our life are a result of our not growing. And life is a consistent bunch of problems. Problems are coming. You're going to have problems after problems after problems. You're going to have to learn how to solve problems in life. And that's what happens when you grow. When you grow spiritually, you're going to begin to learn how to handle your problems in a whole different way. But if you don't grow, you're just going to keep repeating the same problems and the same things that keep creating those problems that you never dealt with. But if you grow, you're going to start to see things change in your life. Are we making sense? And so that's what we're doing in the body of Christ. We're creating an environment where people can grow, where people can grow up and mature in the things of God. Because that's what God is calling the church to, is to mature. People, we should be maturing and growing up. And so, as we're doing that, we're creating an environment so others that are coming who haven't maybe been born again, or maybe they've born again and they're still babe, then we give them grace, right? Remember, our lives have been reconciled. Remember what's reconciled? Back to, right? Back to what? Back to what God originated and intended. And that's back to the garden. Before Adam and Eve fell from grace, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get us back to that. mindset, that way of speaking, and that way of communicating. And so in that, remember, there was never any judging, any criticism, or any condemning speech or thoughts. So that's what we want to do. We want to create an environment where there's no one judging and condemning and criticizing each other and the people coming in, right? That's why if you came in here this morning and you're drunk, you're in the right place. You came in here this morning, you smoking on some weed, you are in the right place. Huh? Yeah, you're in the right place. Because you see, we're going to have some grace and we're going to extend grace. That's how people get saved. That's how people come to Christ. It says in Ephesians 2:7, we are saved by grace. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, it says we are to extend the grace, the manifold grace, to one another that has been given to us. So see, that's how people are saved. They're not saved just because they come and pray a prayer and they go and leave and go off and do their thing. Well, I got saved 20 years ago at the altar. No, you have to be in the body. You have to be in the body, and each of us are extending grace as you help get through your struggles and things in life, and we're extending grace, and you're maturing and you're growing. Come on. Am I making sense? And that's why we don't criticize people if they have struggles. It's not about what you look like. It's not about your education. It's not about any of that. It's about, hey, you're here, and we're going to mature and grow together.
Amen.
Does that make sense? That's the body of Christ, full of grace and full of truth. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father," what? Full of grace and full of truth. That's what we are to be. We're to be like Jesus. That's who we're following, right? He was full of grace. When you're full of something, there's no room for anything else, right? Full of grace and full of truth. Grace is unmerited favor. I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. That doesn't mean a license to keep doing it and to keep wallowing in it. No, I'm going to give you grace with truth. In other words, we need to make some changes here, but we're going to help you, right? But we're not going to say you don't do this and you don't do that and you can't do this. We're not going to tell people what they need and what they don't need. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do that, right? And that's what happens when you get people into an environment where the Holy Spirit is present and the Word of God is going forth. Then the Holy Spirit works in their hearts and works in their minds and begins to help to bring the change that they need and they're longing for. And they begin to hear the voice of truth, right? And that's what we're all looking for. We're looking for truth, full of grace, full of truth. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You may be seated. Father, we come to you right now, and we are grateful, and we thank you, Father, for your presence. You said where two or more are gathered in your name, that there you are in our midst. We know you're with us, Lord. Now, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Your word is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's even piercing, even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your word is alive. Father, bring your word to our hearts that we may receive it with gladness and that, Father, it will save our souls. We thank you for it, and we're going to trust you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Now, so Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. So there. There's the three areas, what our speech, our thinking, and how we understand. That's where we need to mature. And then he says, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? When I became a man. That word man in the Greek, it means maturity. It's not about your gender. Because, see, we are spiritual beings. Remember, we're created in the image of God. And John 4:24 says God is a spirit. So we are spiritual beings. And so what he's saying there is that when I became a man, I matured, I put away childish things. What childish things? Childish way of thinking, childish way of speaking, and a childish way of understanding. Okay? So the idea is we are going to get into this idea of understanding today and the importance of understanding. Because as we are maturing, we're going to be growing and growing in our understanding. That's what we're going to grow in, our understanding. Because Proverbs 4:7 says, in all you're getting, get understanding. I tell you, I used to go to church when I was a kid, and I'd always leave and say, you know, I didn't get it. And what were they saying? I'd leave and I'd think, you know, what was it all about? And it was like I was always leaving with no understanding. But when I became a Christian, I started understanding. And boy, things change when you start to understand, don't they? I mean, when you get understanding, things change. In your heart, the way you see things, folks, we have to get understanding. Understanding is major in the plan and purpose of God. So now let's look at this. All right. Go with me to Genesis chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 6. And this is a principle. And this is something we need to understand. Verse 6. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Verse 7, come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not, what? Understand one another's speech. Now, think about this. They were building a Tower of Babel here. And this was a tower that was going to reach God, so they thought. So they were, it says, if you go back up a few verses, it says, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. They were trying to build something that reached God in their own strength. So that's why I'm trying to point out this principle to you. Now think about this. In verse 6, he says, and the people were one, and they all have one language. In other words, their communication was clear. They were clearly communicating. Now think about this. Look what it says. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Folks, listen to me. When we communicate clearly and we begin to understand, there's nothing you won't be able to accomplish and build. Nothing. That's what he's saying here. When you have clear communication, you can build a marriage. You can build a family. You can build a church. You can build a business. But if you don't have clear communication, you see, not effective, then and no understanding, no business, no family, no marriage, no church will finish what you've started to do. Am I making sense? It is so important that we communicate clearly and that we understand. Because God says, there is nothing that you propose to do that you can't do if you're clearly communicating. Amen? Now, go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 5. In business, the most successful businesses are not the ones with the best product. They're the ones who are communicating the best. That's the most successful businesses today. The ones who are communicating the best. That's the ones who are the most successful. The families that are strong, the marriages that are strong, the churches that are strong, they're communicating, they're connecting. Folks, we have to be able to connect with one another if we are going to become all that God has created us to be. You can't be what God created you to be on your own. Well, I can worship God out in the woods. You might be able to worship Him, but you're not going to fulfill what He's called and created you to be. You need the body of Christ. We need each other. We're created that way. Right? Remember, you can be in the body and not be properly connected to the head. But you can't be properly connected to the head and not be in the body. Right? We have to be in the body of Christ if we're going to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. Because, folks, listen, and that's going to take clear communication on all of our part, connecting. And, folks, I'm going to teach you some principles today that are going to help you. And I'm going to tell you what, if you apply them, you're going to see your life change. Now, watch this. Okay. What did I tell you to go to? Okay. Verse 5, Proverbs chapter 1. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of what? Understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now listen. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible and wrote Proverbs. And God is using him, and he is saying here, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Folks, we got to be able to hear each other, right? And we got to learn to listen. That's why one of our biggest problems is listening to each other. And we don't want to listen. Because if we don't listen, we don't understand. We're not going to hear it. Now watch this. If we're listening, we're going to increase in learning. And he says, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. A man of understanding, in other words, he understands some things, he's willing to get wise counsel. Wise counsel. Now look, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The word knowledge there means knowing God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowing God. It's the beginning of knowing God. In John 17:3, Jesus said, what is eternal life? Knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing Him. See that? So you and I were created to know God. That's what goes back to the garden, right? Reconciled back to our relationship with God. We're created to know God. But he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowing God. Now watch, the word fear means this. It means honor and it means respect. It means honor and respect. So, the honoring and the respecting of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. The honor and the respecting the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowing God. So now look at this. We're going to look at the word respect. Okay? Respect is, it means this. This is what it means. I want you guys to get this. Respect means To defer, this is what Webster says, to defer, to honor, to adore, to be devoted to admire, to deeply love and enjoy. To deeply love and enjoy. In 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, it says we are to respect all people. How many people? All people. Now think about this. So, respect, in Latin, this is what the Latin means. It's pronounced respectus, and it means to look at something over and over and over. To look at something over and over and over. So when you respect something, you look at it over and over and over. You see, spect is the word spectacles, and that's where it comes from, Latin. And it's what you see, what you're looking at. Re is the prefix, and re, I got to re-look at this. I'm re-looking at this. If I respect you, I'm going to keep looking at you. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm looking to you if I want to be in relationship with you. See, that's what respect is. If I want to be in relationship with you, then I'm going to respect you. Right? Watch this. In the third word is the Greek meaning of the word respect, and it means to look away from all else at one object. To look away from everything else at one object. In other words, what I want to be in relationship with, I'm going to look away from everything else, and I'm going to look to you. Because I respect you. I honor you. I want to be in relationship with you. So I'm going to keep looking to you, and I'm going to keep coming back to you. See that? And then now I can be in relationship. This is how it works. We respect. And when we respect, we listen. When we listen, now we're communicating. When we communicate, now we're relating. When we're relating, now we're relational. When we're relational, now we understand. See? Now we understand. And that's how it works, folks. And that's how it works in our relationship with God. We got to keep going to Him and working at knowing Him and respecting Him and going back to Him and looking to no other God. We're looking to Him because we're going to be in relationship with Him. And then we're going to look, the people that we want to be in relationship with, we're going to give them our respect. And we're going to keep looking at them until we begin to understand why we're together, why we're hooked up. This makes sense, doesn't it? Does it make sense? Now, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. It works, it's with us. We have to respect, you know, our boss, our, you know, our spouse, our, you know, our brothers and sisters, whomever we're in relationship with, it comes from us. You see this? It comes from us. The respect does. Where's it supposed to start? With us. We're to respect all people, right? Now think about this. Okay? Where are we at? Help me, Holy Spirit. So, if I respect you, I am looking to you and nobody else, right? Now, here's our problem. That's why I did that. If I respect you, I'm going to look to you. But here's our problem. When I don't respect, now I'm living out of my expectations of you. And God's not in that. Expectations, expect is to look at. X is out of. Now I'm looking away. You know, when you look away, guess what you're looking at? Your ideas. You become self-conscious and not God-conscious. Huh? So now, the reason I'm not respecting you is I got my own thing going on here. You see, I'm not going to listen to you. Look at the way you're dressed. Shoot, what? Huh? No. See? Huh? Am I making sense? I got my expectations on you. Now I've lost respect. Well, you didn't do that job right. You didn't, you know, you should have, you're not doing what I'm telling you. You see, there's no respect in that. They're trying to meet up to your own agenda in your own mind. See? And God is nowhere in that. Come on. It's my expectations. And folks, listen, that right there, that will make you miserable. That right there will make you miserable. This past weekend, couple weeks ago, or when I was off on Saturday night, there was a gathering, a family gathering, and my little granddaughter was there and everybody. But now I wasn't there. I didn't even know what was going on.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. So, I got all hurt. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, man. Oh, dang. Ooh, I was hurting. And so, you know, I'll get in this funk. I mean, a big old funk. Dark cloud. You know, I didn't want nobody to call. I just wanted to whine and wallow in my expectations. Why, they should have called me. What are they doing this without me? You see, I had my expectations on them. And it made me, what? Miserable. Because they didn't meet my expectations. They didn't even know I was off. They thought I was working. Or they wouldn't have done that. You see this? Come on now. And so here's the idea. Our own expectations are what's making us miserable in other people and circumstances. But when I went to God, well, I went back to, right? I went back to, and I got the truth on the matter. Went away. No funk. I can be me. You see that? Come on, do you see this or not? You see why we can't live in these expectations of other people and how they do things and what they do? And because that messes you up, all you need to do is respect them. And that frees you. That frees you and empowers you. And that comes from you connecting with God and getting the truth on the matter, right? Remember? In John 18, Jesus said, I came to bear witness of the, what? The truth. Jesus said, I came to bear witness of the truth. And my people are of the truth, and they know my voice. And they know my voice. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. That word witness means, I saw it with my eyes, and I heard it with my ears. Jesus, before the foundations of the world, before you showed up on the planet, Jesus saw your life with his eyes and he heard you with his ears, what you're to be about. And that's what we have to do. We have to keep respecting God and going back to him and getting the truth on the matter, because that's who you are. You see this? And so now, I want to live my life out of that, not my expectations. Am I making sense? Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, you've been married 5 times and you're living with the one you're with now. And he was talking to her and they were conversing, and she was a Samaritan woman, and normally Samaritans and Jews didn't talk, right? And so he was out of character right there, but he had another voice he was listening to, right? He's getting the truth on the matter. He wasn't concerned about everybody else and what they thought or what they said or what they might do, because he had another voice going. He was listening to the truth. So then he told her, he started talking about worship. He says, you don't even know, and this is in John chapter 4, you don't even know the God that you worship. In other words, you don't know him. But Jesus said, we know the one that we worship. For I'm looking for a people who will worship me in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. John 17, the Bible says, sanctify them with your truth, for thy word is truth. You see this? As I keep looking into the word, I'm going to get the truth on the matter. And I'm going to discover, because listen, if I don't continue to look to his word and hear from him, I can end up worshiping an imposter. My Jesus can become my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my work, my job. You can worship anything. The only way you're going to know the truth from an imposter is if you continue in his word. Am I making sense? That's the only way you're going to know if you're worshiping in truth and in spirit. In Psalms 51, verse 5 and 6, God desires truth in your most inward parts, and in the hidden places, he will make you to know wisdom. Folks, we all need wisdom. We all need God's wisdom. The only way you're going to ever overcome the enemy is you're going to have God's wisdom. Or the enemy will always be beating you down. But when you have God's wisdom on it, you're going to make it. The Bible says this, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. You see, that's why understanding is so important. When I understand, now I'm delivered from the evil way. And that word delivered means to be freed from a trap. I'm no longer trapped. I'm free to be who I was created to be. Am I making sense? And so that's the call on our life. And when I become that, it doesn't matter what this one's doing or what that one's doing or what this one's saying or what they're saying. All I know is I'm getting me the truth on the matter. Does this make sense? I know I'm preaching a little bit, but the idea is we got to get understanding. And where does it start? It starts with respect. Where does that start? With us, right? With us. Go with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. The Bible says in Genesis that Eve, when she saw the tree, okay, then she partook of the fruit. You see, she looked away and began to look at something other than God. And that's when she fell into sin. You see that? If she would have had respect for God and kept honoring and fearing God, she would have looked back to God and she never would have ate that. You see, because she looked away, she was deceived. And it's the same way in your and my life. We have to keep looking to Him, going back to Him. And going back to the ones that we want to be in relationship with. Now, okay, let's look at this. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not what? Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. The enemy's job is to keep you and to rob you from the word so you don't understand. As you leave here today, if you're not purposeful and intentional about what you're hearing today, he's going to try to steal some of this today. But you need to tell him, you know, where he belongs, right? Under your feet. The idea is, he tries to get you, keep you from hearing God's word, Because if he keeps you from hearing God's word, then he'll keep you from doing it. Now, if he gets the understanding, what happens? Now we can only resort to our expectations and what we know and what we think on the matter. And you can't ever fulfill God's will the way you think and what you think is important. It has to be according to his word. Does this make sense? And so there you are. You're doing your own thing because you didn't get God's word on it, and it affects your relationship with God now, and then it's going to affect your relationship with others. Because it begins with respect. If I respect you, I listen to you. If I'm listening to you, then we are communicating. If we're communicating, now we're relating. If we're relating, we understand. Right? If we understand, we understand. We got it. I get you. You can say that with some power. I get you. You ever hear people say that? Well, I get you. Yeah, you can say it with something behind it, right? And so that's the idea, but it starts with us and how we're respecting people. And it comes from our relationship with God. Come on now. Is this making sense? Now think about this. Okay. That's why when somebody is gossiping and backbiting, talking about somebody who's not present, you need to get out of there. Because if you're listening to that and you're participating in that, that's not respect. There's no respect in that. What you need to do when that gossip and that backbiting starts is just say, well, let's go get this person and let's bring them into the conversation. If they don't want to do that, say, look, then shut your mouth. Huh? Then hush it up, right? Because I'm going to respect people. And that's no respect, sitting there backbiting and talking about them when they're not even there to present their case, whatever. Am I making sense? So that's important. Because that's all about respect. That's all about respect. Satan comes to steal the word and to steal understanding. By stealing his word, God's word, he prevents you from being able to rely on God. And God wants you to rely on him. If you are not able to understand, and if you do not know what he said, then you can't communicate with God. Then the relationship begins to break down. If you can't respect, you won't listen. If you don't listen, you won't communicate. If you're not communicating, you're not relating. If you're not relating, you're not in relationship. And the result is there's no understanding. Man, that is big. Are you getting this morning? Are you glad you come up in here today? Because folks, listen, this right here will get you through. This helps you. It helps you. Because, folks, we can't fulfill God's plan without other people. We need to be relational. This is so big. I can't tell you how important this is. Now, the enemy has reached his goal when he gets the understanding. We have nothing to rely on, nothing to put our trust in, nothing to respect. As a result, all you have is your own thinking, which is that childish way, your own thinking and your own reasoning and your own way of doing things. You will fall and be separated from your relationship with God because of a lack of respect. Okay? Now think about this. Great relationships are built on keeping your word. Keeping your word. You see that? God keeps his word. Love is all about respect. Love is all about respect. And that's what God is doing in His church, is He's developing this love in us. And folks, when we respect people and we respect God and we respect ourselves, respect yourself. Na, 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 na. Is that how it goes? Paula taught me that last night. No. But respect is so big when it comes to loving and growing and maturing. And it comes from us. It comes from us. Now, where's my folks? Come on up here. We're going to have a closing song, and I got a word to share before you leave. So hold up.
Yeah.
Now, how's it work?
Respect.
Listen. I'm listening. I'm communicating. I'm communicating. I'm relating. If I'm relating, I'm relational. If I'm relational, I understand. See that? We have to grow in the way we respect God, others, and ourselves. And folks, as we do, you're going to see things change in your life. Now watch this. God, you know what God is doing? It's all about love. Remember that verse I gave you, 1 Corinthians 13:11? That's taken from the love chapter. And remember, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become as what? Sounding brass and clanging cymbals. You see, we become a bunch of noise when we don't have respect. But when respect is coming out of us, people are going to listen. See that? You see that? So, love is what God is doing, and he's calling us to mature in love. That's what the love of God is. It's a maturing. 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoever keeps my word, truly the love of God is being perfected in him." The word perfect, mature. Not perfect, mature. That's what means we're maturing in love. Now, here's what he's doing. He's producing love ability. Everybody say love ability.
Love ability.
Love ability versus lovable. Love ability versus lovable. So watch this. God and his people is producing love ability. In other words, I have the ability in me to love you regardless of how you're treating me, regardless of what you say to me, regardless of what you do to me. I have the ability to keep loving you.
Amen.
You see that? And that keeps me healthy and whole because I have that ability to love you regardless of how you treat me. Don't you see this? That's why when you respect somebody, you're going to keep loving them, right? That's lovability. Lovable people, it's easy to be around lovable people, right? You're drawn to them and you draw from them. It's those ones that are, you know, that's the ones God wants to work on you with. And when you show them that love, then that's going to make them hungry for what you got. Love ability. Now, I got one more thing, and we're going to leave. Get a hold of this. Are you ready? Here's what you have to do. If you get hurt all the time, there's a problem in the way you're loving. If you're always got your feelings hurt, it's a problem in the way we're loving. We have to have more confidence in God's love than what people are saying about us, are saying to us, or doing to us. Did you get that? We have to have more confidence in God's love for us and ours for Him than what people are saying to us, about us, and doing to us. So no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter what they think, it's going to be all right. Did you see that? My confidence is in the love of God. Man, just go home. Have a blessed week. Did you get that? See you later.